Welcome to Tony's Take Podcast.
Welcome to the Tony's Take Podcast, episode 368. I'm Sean, and joined with me, we have Off-Road Andy.
Hello.
And Tony Katz.
Hello.
Thanks for tuning in. Hit that subscribe button, share with a friend, and check out our entertainment podcast right after this. Got some good stuff to get to today. We're going to start with the NBA.
Yeah, we're heading into the end of the season here. About a month left, about 15 games left. So we're going to just take another quick look at our over-under picks from last, or from the beginning of the season. There are now seven teams that have clinched their over-under. I would expect a little bit more, but there's some teams that are close. Probably by next week we'll know. Those seven teams are the Detroit Pistons, who have clinched their under 27.5. The Orlando Magic clinching over 37.5. Charlotte Hornets under 31.5. Timberwolves over 44.5. Thunder over 44.5. The Grizzlies under 45.5. And the Spurs under 29.5. So, Tony's our early leader, 5-2. I'm at 2-5, and Sean's at 4-3. So I picked some the worst teams. I said, like, you know, it's a low bar to get over. The Pistons and the Spurs. It's like I think they'll still be bad. They're not playoff teams, but I think they can get past that low win total. And they didn't. I mean, in fact, all three of us picked the Spurs over. I think because we were like, well, Wemby will make a difference, and he has. That's how bad that team is. He has been very good. Probably going to win Rookie of the Year, and they're still going to win 15 games at the end of the day. So pretty poor.
Yeah, the rest of their guys are, there's just not much around him at all. Like he needs to get a playmaker. Maybe in the offseason they can go actually try to get veterans or something, or somebody that's like, hey, wants to play with this kid, and maybe they can make something special happen. Still, you know, Popovich, still probably the, you know, one of maybe even arguably the greatest NBA coach in NBA history. So, you know, maybe I just feel bad for him. It's like they haven't had a good team in a long time. They got this guy, and it's like they need some solid, like, veterans or whatever to go help out.
Yeah, I think
out.
Next year, I mean, they're going to have another top five pick, and they'll probably have cap room. So they can get, like, a solid veteran, get a good young player to go in there, and then just solve. I mean, how is your defense still so bad when you have Wembanyama? That's kind of the issue with them. But, yeah, I mean, next year, despite another bad season, we're not going to see 29.5 as their over-under to start next year. I just can't, even if they do nothing, I think just the improvement of the team. But yeah, let's actually talk about teams that could possibly win a title and make the playoffs, and which doesn't include the Spurs. So let's look at the Eastern Conference. Boston's been number one all year long, and they're going to win their conference. They're 10 games up with like 15 to go, so it's over. They're gonna hit their over under, which is 55.5. They're gonna get to 60 wins most likely, or 60 plus. And then you got Milwaukee and Cleveland, 2-3, and then a couple games behind them, the Knicks and the Magic at 4-5, and Philly still staying in 6, which is important. Philly wants to stay out of that play-in game. I don't know when Embiid's coming back, but you know that would buy them another couple of days staying out of that play-in section, but they are only a half game up on the Pacers.
And only a game ahead of Miami.
Yeah, and then behind them you got Miami, the Bulls, Hawks.
It's a good jump after that, but.
And it's most likely, I mean, the Hawks are really bad, 30-38, but it looks like they're probably going to stay in that spot. Because, I mean, the Nets are going nowhere, so. The bottom end of the Eastern Conference is not as strong as the Western Conference. You'll see when you get there, but it is funny how Miami, you know, after another finals run, is still just, I don't know what, they're the 8th seed.
That's where they like to be.
It's, yeah, they're going to horrify whoever they play if they end up playing Boston again. It just, they're there. They're scary. Yeah, that's the East. So,
And in the West, it's staying afloat there. Oklahoma and Minnesota, like week after week, just staying at 1-2.
Yeah, I mean, some people thought Minnesota was going to fall apart after the Towns injury, but they've now won 3 in a row.
And just really quickly, we have to mention while we're talking about Minnesota, I'm sure you guys saw the dunk last night that Anthony Edwards did. Sean, did you see it?
I did not.
Oh, Shawnee. We're going to have to show you.
I want to say, is it really even a dunk? Because the ball left his hand like a good 2 feet
but it
from
was,
the rim.
It was pretty remarkable.
But yeah, it was like, there's no way. You can't do that. And he did it.
So. And also, it's not like he did it over Marko Jarić or something. I mean, he did this over John Collins, who also is capable of doing similar dunks like that. He's also got some springs in his feet, but we'll show it to you after, Sean, and you'll understand what we're talking about here. But it was pretty gnarly. And but yeah, but right there, Denver Nuggets, though, also 47-21, half a game out.
And so those three teams are going to be the top three teams, it looks like. I mean, the Clippers have really struggled. And I do want to mention, if you remember last week, we talked about teams blowing 20-point leads in the NBA and how
you
just needed one more to tie the record. And that night, the Los Angeles Clippers were playing the Minnesota Timberwolves at home.
Without Towns and Gobert.
Without Towns and Gobert.
Or maybe Gobert was playing.
Yeah, I don't remember.
I think just Towns was out.
Yeah. They were up 22 points. And by the time we turned the game on, it was down to 18. And it's like, well, okay. And then the T-Wolves went on a little run. I'm like, okay, time to put Kawhi back in.
Yeah.
Kawhi was gone. He had back spasms.
I was going to say, was there ever anything else on that?
No, he just, it was like, well, he has back spasms. He's not going to be able to come back. So just go home. And they ended up not just blowing the lead. They lost by 18. So it was a 40-point swing over the final 25 minutes of game time or whatever it was. But yeah, so another huge blown lead. And the Clippers are falling apart. And right now they're just trying to make it through the end of this regular season healthy. Trying to get rest for everyone. It seems like everyone's been missing a couple games off and on. And I think really the low point in the season was Sunday night. Yeah, Sunday night. Yeah, where they got blown out at home by the Hawks without Trae Young. Hawks, one of the worst teams in the league. The second worst defense by points allowed. And yet the Clippers, who are one of the top offenses, only put up 93 points on them.
Yeah, that's
really, really, really concerning.
Scoring under 100 points in the NBA today is impressive, let alone against a team that gives up 125 a game.
Yeah, and you saw the next night. The next night, the Lakers put up 135 on them, I think.
Yeah.
The Hawks are no good, and you should be able to score on them, but...
you get the Hawks though on a back to back. Plus, they get to stay in LA, which means you know those guys probably went out a little bit for whatever that's worth.
Especially after a big victory there.
Yeah,
I could see that.
Yeah, kind of just fold against the Lakers in that situation. I think
the concern now with the Clippers is can they keep a home court advantage spot? Because right now New Orleans is only a game behind them. They've already lost the season series to New Orleans, so they'd lose a tiebreaker. And then behind New Orleans, you got the Kings. A couple games behind New Orleans, and then you got the Mavericks and Suns, a half game back of sixth place there. And then the Lakers and Warriors. Lakers are three games out of the sixth spot. The Warriors are four games. So that seems to be Lakers and Warriors are not going to escape that play-in. But who's going to be the six versus the seven or eight is still up in the air, I think.
Yeah, I mean, crazier things have happened. Lakers, yeah, I guess, definitely. Are only three games back of the play-in, but more than likely with what do they have left? They've only got 13 games left. They played 69 games, so yeah, more than likely they won't be able to catch those teams because those are three really good teams. The Western playoffs, I think, are going to be remarkable this year because, you know, you're going to get teams like, you know, Minnesota, Oklahoma that, yeah, they're going to be top seeds, or New Orleans, Sacramento, but, you know, what happens when they face up a veteran team like Golden State, Phoenix, Lakers in the first round? I mean,
yeah. And yeah, and the thing is, even though the T-Wolves have been playing well, I feel like teams will want to target them without Towns because he will not, I can't see him coming back by the first round. So that's got to be the expectation.
I think teams would want to play New Orleans and the Kings also. New Orleans is actually pretty good.
The thing, I wouldn't mind playing New Orleans. A lot of Clippers fans are horrified because they've won, I think, 3 out of 4. New Orleans, this version of that team hasn't shown anything. Zion's never even played in the playoffs.
Exactly.
They made the playoffs a couple years ago without him. And, you know, he's going to die. Like, his whole body will explode. That's always a possibility. Like, I'm not wishing it, but, like, I'm not that worried about New Orleans this year. Now, we can all wish for like great health and they become something good and Zion becomes what we all thought he was. But I mean, he is playing really well right now.
Yeah.
And they're as a team playing well, but like we haven't seen it yet. We saw what happened with Memphis last year. The team, like in their first try as a top seed, kind of falls flat on their face. So, you know, you could see that happening here. And also the Kings too, as the 3 seed losing their first round. But
yeah, no, 100% agree. Definitely looking forward to the Western playoffs when it begins, which will be here before you know it. A month away, less than a month, I'm sure. About a month? I don't know.
Yeah, I think probably exactly a month is what I'm going to say.
Yeah, well.
Let's see. When is the last Clippers game? April 14th.
Yeah, so
there you go.
So it'll probably be like April 20th. It'll probably be the first games of round one, and the play-ins will be like Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Like,
yeah, yeah, I get what you're saying. Yeah, so the play-ins will begin. Yeah, that Tuesday, the 16th Wednesday. Yeah, so we're almost there.
It'll be here fast. Are we ready to move on to baseball?
Yes, we are.
Yeah, let's do that. Where are we? Oh, you know what? Actually, I had one other thing I want to talk about in the NBA.
Ooh.
I've also been keeping track of the interconference play because it is something it is interesting to me. Western Conference, in our entire lifetimes, has just been dominant, and that's no different this year. The West is 211-165 against the East, and it is interesting to see some surprising results here. So, I mean, Denver's been dominant. They've also already played 27 games against the East. So I don't know if they've already played them all, but 21-6, pretty great record. And then there are teams that are surprisingly struggling. Where did I see? Yeah, like the Magic, who are having a good record in the East. They're only 11, they're only 500. And then there's surprises like the Bulls. They're 16-13 against the West. So they're kind of really doing their job. Versus the rest of the teams there. Sixers 12-10, so barely 500 there. But yeah, it just shows you that even though the Celtics have the best record, and I think some people were thinking that, you know, that it's starting to flip, the East has good teams, the West just has the depth. And we showed it there with the playoff race and the playoff standings that, you know, the West is just better top to bottom. I mean, look, the Wizards and Pistons are both 3-22 against the West. So.
Yeah.
Pretty bad.
Yeah, the West is always been deeper for the last quite some time now. I'd say at least the last couple decades, probably just depthness wise.
I mean, since Jordan retired,
it's
kind of went.
The 90s, the East dominated by far, but the West now it's just, you know, got a lot of those things where get the West 10 team could be the like 5-4 seed most of the time in the East.
Yeah.
Let's actually look at that really quick. Golden State, if they were the 10 seed, well, okay, never mind. They'd be like
nine, but still, it's the 10 versus 10 is a big difference.
We do say that. While we do say that, Boston does have the best record.
Yeah, that's fine. But
that is fine. They can have one powerhouse, but that's why maybe Boston has the best record.
Yeah, they get to beat up a lot of the lesser teams. I mean, Charlotte, Detroit, Washington is definitely worse than the bottom three, I would say, of Memphis, Portland, San Antonio.
And I think I saw that Boston is 125, or I think it's either 20 or 25 point win away from breaking the record for most 25 point wins in a season. I think they already have the record for most 50 point wins in a season, which is crazy. I believe they have three this year. And I think they just need one more 25 point victory to tie that record or something like that. So this has been a very historical Boston team, but matters what you do in the playoffs, because the best single season record of all time didn't even win the championship that year with the Golden State Warriors.
Here's an interesting breaking news from international basketball, or at least Olympic basketball. The U.S. will be playing in a group with Serbia. So is Jokic going to play in the Olympics? If the Nuggets are in the finals, that makes it less likely, actually, that he'd play in the Olympics. But that would be fun right there. I don't think they have anyone who can guard him. I guess Bam is the big man on the Olympic team, but and maybe he'll play him in the finals, just like last year. But yeah, we can move on now.
All right, let's talk some baseball.
Yeah, so we're almost there. I think, next week we'll have to do our baseball preview, because that's when the real start of the season is March 28th. But there is a couple regular season games this week. But yeah, before we talk about that, Blake Snell did sign, so one of the big free agents left. Did get a deal, not what he wanted, similar to Bellinger and Chapman. He's taking 2 years, $62 million from the Giants, but can opt out after 1 year, which is likely what he will do here. It gives him barely any security if something goes really wrong for him this year.
So,
but it is a nice bit of money, $62 million. I think he'll be fine.
It's funny because I know he did want like 200 and some million or whatever he thought he deserved. And it's funny because I don't know what the Yankees offered him, but I feel like it was 100 and something. It was over 100. And One of the podcasts I listen to, they have this one of their MLB guys that comes on. His name's Josh Towers, former MLB pitcher, like relief pitcher, played for the Yankees and a couple other teams. And he was saying, he's like, I'm confused on Blake Snell because it's clear he doesn't care about winning and he doesn't care about money because he turned down a big deal to a, you know, one of the best organizations in the Yankees and then ends up signing for much less for a team that's probably not going to make the playoffs this year. Definitely.
I mean, the Giants are paying, you know, $50 million combined to get Snell and Chapman for 1 year. It's kind of interesting they got two of them.
Well, yeah, and then they've got the new guy from like Korea or something.
Yeah, they added to their team, and yeah, we can get into that when we do that.
And I mean, granted, but the funny thing is, I feel like in baseball, and I feel like it's always the NL West will always bring out one surprise team that somehow just does well. I think the Giants were like that a couple years ago. Arizona Diamondbacks were certainly like that last year, going all the way to the World Series. The Padres have been like that before in the past, where you're just like the Rockies, where you're just like, these teams don't look that good on paper. And the next thing you know, they sneak into the playoffs and they kind of make a run. So, yeah, I guess crazier things have happened. Baseball's a funny sport. It's a long season.
Yeah, and it's a long season when you consider it starts tomorrow for some teams. Dodgers and Padres play in Korea tomorrow.
Speaking of the NL West.
Yeah, it's and here's just what's disappointing to me. The pitching matchups are very good. But is Yu Darvish versus Glasnow, and it is Musgrove versus Yamamoto. And I'm like,
should have been
Japanese versus Japanese and former Pirate versus former Pirate. But no, they're mixing and matching there. So Glasnow getting the opening day start for the Dodgers in his first year with the team. It is funny. The two top guys on their rotation are both new guys. But yeah, that's a really good matchup. The fans in Korea are lucky. I mean, that's the Padres had a really good rotation last year, but that's a little diminished now without Snell. But Darvish and Musgrove are still very good pitchers, so should be fun if anyone wants to watch. I think you said it's 3 a.m.
Yeah, it'll be starting
6 a.m. on the East Coast.
Yeah, 3 a.m. I almost said American time, but I mean West Coast time.
Yeah, I did like there's a picture of Shohei's dad like disapproving of him after he like didn't get a hit in like one of the.
Oh, I can only imagine.
One of the exhibition games.
Doesn't matter how, if you're in grade school or you're the best player in the MLB. If you don't perform well, those strict Asian parents are going to let you know.
Now, what is interesting, I did look it up. The Dodgers, so their Dodgers spring training is over. At least their camp is over. Not spring training. Their camp is done. They left Arizona about a week ago. But they will return, and they will be playing three games against the Angels before the regular season starts up again for real for them. So it's like they're going to play real games, and then they go back to playing games that don't count. So they'll be playing two in L.A. and one in Anaheim the week leading up to March 28th. Well, then they resume. I didn't see what the Padres are doing, but I'm sure they're doing something similar. But that's a weird situation how that works. But
yeah,
it's like, well, now you got to go back to not caring. And like, I don't know how you turn it on, turn it off. I don't know. But yeah, it's we're there. We're going to have a long 200 days until the playoffs or whatever it's going to be. But it's baseball season.
Woo. All right. Well, it's almost.
We never did a baseball over under, huh?
That's what I'm saying. We'll have to do it next week.
Oh, okay.
Because there won't be another week to do it.
That's fine. We'll just, you know, two games. It's only two games in.
Yeah.
Wherever they're at again. Korea, Japan, Korea.
We're not going to get like an advantage. It's like Mookie Betts hits like six home runs. And I'm like, I think I like Mookie Betts for MVP this year. I don't think that's going to happen.
No. Yeah.
But, well, should we talk about some football?
Yeah. So we had some other big free agent signings this week. Just about everyone is done and signed. So I'll just kind of quickly review through those. Some big wide receivers finally found deals. Mike Williams, who was cut by the Chargers, is going to the Jets. 1 year, $15 million. So that's a nice weapon there for Aaron Rodgers.
Chargers are going to have a completely different offense this year, huh?
Oh, yeah. We'll get to it. There's another story we can get to. Marquise Brown, 1 year, $7 million, going to the Chiefs. That's a total, like, I want to revitalize my career with Pat Mahomes. Like, I'm a little upset about that. The Chiefs are probably going to be better again. Like they kept all their guys.
I was just talking to Tommy last night, friend of the pod. Shout out to Tommy if you're listening. That I was mentioning how every year we were looking at the mock draft the other night, and it's like every year I was like, it seems like every year when you look, the Chiefs are the 32nd pick, which means, you know, because they won the Super Bowl. And he's like, and then they always draft someone who ends up being a starter for at least like that season or something. But yeah, the Chiefs.
Yeah. Just, I mean, it's crazy that, I mean, the Chiefs are giving Marquise Brown like a much smaller deal than they gave. What I can't remember what the guy's name was. The guy from the Packers, Valdez Scantling.
Oh, yeah.
This is such a cheap little deal here. I know he's not a star, but he was a good player, former first-round pick. And then, yeah, Calvin Ridley did not stay with the Jaguars. He's going to the Titans, 4 years, $92 million. This seems puzzling because I don't even know the Titans, what they're doing. The Titans aren't going to be good, right? Why pay all this money for a wide receiver, especially 2 years after you traded A.J. Brown, because you're like, we can't pay a big-name wide receiver. And now you got a worse player in Calvin Ridley, an older and worse player, I would say. Paying a ton of money to. Really, really strange here. But, I mean, good for him getting all that money. We did see another the top offensive tackle also signed, Tyron Smith of the Cowboys, probably future Hall of Famer. He had a very great start to his career, but you know, was kind of lesser as he gotten older. But he's going to the Jets, 1 year, $7 million. So the Jets have another good addition there. They're kind of betting on some of these older veterans to, you know, make one last run here with Aaron Rodgers. Here's a strange thing. So Danielle Hunter is going to the Texans, 2 years, $49 million, leaving the Vikings. So good pass rusher for them for a while now. And Jonathan Greenard is leaving the Texans for the Vikings, 4 years, $76 million. They basically swapped defensive ends that are both been productive for them. So I think Greenard is a younger player. Hunter's probably a bigger name. Then you have Chase Young going to the Saints, 1 year, $13 million. So the number two pick from a while back, but moved on to the Niners at the end of the last year. Wasn't great, but was there. I think he might have had a second Super Bowl, but he's going to New Orleans there. So, but that's the free agency stuff. I think everything else is bigger news. So I think the first big piece of news we have is Aaron Donald retired. So he almost retired a couple years ago after the Super Bowl, decided to come back, and now he is actually retired. I think he's only 32 or something. He still could have been very good in the league for a few more years, but he's decided to walk away now. There's nothing to prove. He's won 3 defensive players of the year, won a Super Bowl, so
yeah,
he's done.
And maybe he doesn't see a future winning the Super Bowl there in the near future, and then he probably wants to go into broadcast because I think he is – he's going to be on TV, I think.
Yeah.
I don't think Aaron Donald's just going to disappear and like coach like a peewee team or something. Yeah. I think he's probably smart. He's got a lot of money. And he's like, you know, sometimes it's the behind the scenes stuff too. It's the grueling of like going to camp and all that stuff, all the traveling, it's a grueling season football, especially when you're on the line. I mean, you're every play
yeah, definitely
that you're out there, you're making contact and stuff. So I think, he's probably just happy with life, and maybe it's going to be a good decision. Maybe he's got some business ventures in the future. Feels like he's a guy that you're still just going to see on TV is what I'm feeling.
Yeah. It does seem a little surprising that it came this late, especially like a week into free agency. I don't know if that...
And I guess the Rams did make the playoffs. So, I mean, it wasn't like...
Yeah, I mean, the Rams could be still pretty solid this year. I'm surprised. Like I said, it took this long. Like, maybe I would... The Rams probably prefer him announced it like right as the season ended. Maybe just now made that decision. But yeah, it does diminish their chances next year. I think with him, they're a much better team. But yeah, you know, if he wants to retire, that's his right. Keenan Allen is also no longer going to be with the Chargers. So losing another receiver, he has been traded to the Bears for a 4th-round pick. So it clears up a bunch of money for the Chargers. And the story here is the Chargers asked him to take a, revised contract. They made the same, offer of Khalil Mack and Joey Bosa, and they both accepted and said, yeah, we'll take a little less money to stay with the team and not get cut. And Keenan Allen said, no, I'm good, and you can cut me or trade me. And so they traded him to the Bears. So at least they got something for him. And they were able to clear some extra money off. But, yeah, definitely hurts. Like, when I saw that news, I was, you know, devastated. Like, this is one of the guys I wanted to stay with the team this whole career. He's the longest tenured guy. He's a former San Diego Charger. There's only one left, and that's Joey Bosa. So that's something that I think means something to people who have been following the team for a while. But yeah, I wanted him, like Antonio Gates, to just play his whole career there, play with all the different quarterbacks. And you know, he's only going up in the record books over time, and I think he still is going to be a good player for the next couple of years. So it hurts. I wanted them to keep him. Of all the guys that were going to be considered they'd have to cut, like Mike Williams and Khalil Mack, like, well, this is the guy that you keep. He's the guy who means the most to the franchise, even if he doesn't have the brightest future, just that there's a sentimental value, and maybe you pay for that. And it does seem like the new regime came in and was like, I don't give a shit. I'm Jim Harbaugh. I don't give a shit about Keenan Allen. Like, yeah. He went to Cal, and I was the coach of Stanford, so I actually hate him. maybe that was the case, but I don't think so. But yeah, that's exciting for him to go to the Bears. Caleb Williams is going to be the quarterback, I'd have to bet, because that'll play into another story here. And they've already got DJ Moore, so it's going to be a nice little tandem there. So I think he'll still be productive in this next year, and then he'll be a free agent again. So maybe he'll come back. But what it does mean is Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, Austin Eckler, and Gerald Everett are now on different teams. And I think that represents 80% of the Chargers' receiving yards over the last 2 years, which includes Mike Williams only playing in 2.5 games last year. So that's pretty bad. The good news is the Chargers have a number 5 pick, and they will most likely now take a wide receiver, maybe Marvin Harrison Jr. or whoever the next best available is.
I saw that it was
Neighbors.
Yeah, that's who it looked like was going to be most likely. But yeah, there's three good receivers up there in the top few that they're saying with Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Neighbors, and then I can't pronounce it. I forget
Odunze.
Yeah, Odunze from Washington.
Who I don't want, not because I don't like him, but because the Chargers have historically gone after the tall guys who could make those kind of contested catches. And maybe try something new. Maybe get the speed guys.
Let me tell you something, though, Andy. Here's what's going to be interesting is now you've got, for however much power he has, you've got a guy that just came from college as your coach. So it's like he knows these receivers, and he definitely knows Okunze because he just faced him.
Just beat the shit out of him. Yeah,
yeah, so maybe he knows LSU's a powerhouse, so maybe he does go for the LSU guy. Yeah. Or maybe Marvin Harrison Jr.
No, I mean, that is the thing people have said. Like, the reason the Seahawks were so successful – at the beginning of Pete Carroll's run was like he still had the scouting reports on all of those guys, but
because it looks like the first
great
three,
drafts in like 2011, 2010.
It looks like the first three picks will be quarterbacks, and then I think they're saying four is the Cardinals, which could steal Harrison.
Well, there's a rumor now that JJ McCarthy's moved so far up that like some team will be desperate and move up, and so then Harrison could drop to 5, but we'll see. The draft's still a month away. A lot left to be resolved there.
Yeah, I mean, every day's been exciting in the NFL since free agency opened up. It's been a while. I can't remember anything close to this crazy in the NFL offseason with big names going to new places.
Yeah, because most of the time NFL players just resign with the team they're with, and they like to stay.
Feels like nobody's resigning.
But yeah, now
like every running back is on a different team, it feels like. Yeah.
Well, and then there's a big quarterback carousel here as well. So last week when we were talking about all the quarterback signings, I didn't even think about it, but basically all the Justin Fields teams had already made deals to get new quarterbacks, like Steelers with Russell Wilson, the Falcons with Cousins, the Raiders with Gardner Minshew. It's like, well, where's Fields going to go? Well, there was really nowhere for him to go, so he ended up getting traded for only a 6th-round pick to Pittsburgh, where they have said, no, he's going to be the backup. It's not going to be a competition. He will be the backup. Maybe in the future he'll be a starter. But he's backing up Russell Wilson. I mean, now you know that is what they're saying now. If Wilson's bad through 6 games, there's going to be a quick
cut. So I think I've heard before, even before they got Russell Wilson and definitely before they got Justin Fields, I had heard that Mike Tomlin had spoke about how much he likes Justin Fields. And they went out and they got Russell Wilson. I'm like, okay, like a little bit older version of Fields and whatnot, but you know, obviously Super Bowl winner, good experience. I'm like, hey, I'm good with it, whatever. It's better than Pickett, which, as you know, we'll get into, also is on a new team now. And you know, when they got Justin Fields, I was in shock. I was like, wait, what? And then I'm thinking like, well, is Wilson still on the team? But I thought about it a little bit more. And even Russell Wilson tweeted something out talking about how like, man, the QB film room is going to be fire, like, you know, yada, yada. And I'm like, I think because they got Wilson for a steal and they only got him 1 year, $1 million, because the Broncos owe him 30 something million. And then again, they only got Fields for a 6th-round pick. But we did see that if Fields plays 51% of, I think it's the games or snaps or something, he actually, that 6th-round pick turns into a 4th-round pick. So obviously that'll be something to monitor for the Steelers on how the season's going. But I think the plan here is you let Wilson be the starter. And you let Fields sit behind him for a year, because even if Russell Wilson's not as good as he once was, he is still a Super Bowl winner, more than likely a future Hall of Famer, and he can win. And so I think Fields, if anything, can sit a year and learn from him. And then if I agree, though, with you, if in six games the Steelers are 2-4, then I think there will be some chatter for Fields. And the Steelers have done this the last handful of years since Big Ben left. You know, they've had a quarterback start and then another quarterback's come in at some point. I mean, last year they had three different quarterbacks they used, and who would have thought they were going to end the season with Mason Rudolph? Like, Pickett was good enough to come back in the playoffs, and they said, no, we're going to stick with Rudolph because he won us the last three games of the season to get us into the playoffs. And, you know, obviously they dealt a bad hand playing the Bills on like a month, on like a Tuesday or whatever it had to be. But, or no, I think it was Monday. They got switched up or whatever, but nor here nor there.
Yeah, there was that Monday at like 3 o'clock.
Yeah, it was before the Eagles and Buccaneers game. But yeah, so I think, you know, Fields will sit back with him. And then if Wilson, you know, I still don't think this is enough for the Steelers to be a Super Bowl contender by any means, but at least it's a step in the right direction. I think if you'll see what happens, I think if, you know, it'll be interesting to see if when Wilson's year's done, will they want him to stay longer, or will then they just be like, all right, now it's Fields' turn and Wilson, your job here is done. And who even knows how much longer Wilson's going to even plan on playing, because I don't think he wants to be a backup anywhere.
Yeah, does he want to do the Joe Flacco thing of like, I'll hang around and if someone needs me, I'll come in.
Speaking of Joe Flacco, he was signed on as a backup for a team.
Did he?
The Colts, yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, what's interesting here is with all these quarterback moves, there are a ton of young guys with starting experience now out of jobs, and there's still value in that. There's starting experience. People will want those guys as backups. We saw a lot of guys get traded, starting with Mac Jones getting traded to the Jaguars. Pickett was traded to the Eagles.
Yeah.
Desmond Ridder out in Atlanta. He's now going to the Cardinals. And Sam Howell of Washington is now going to Seattle. So you got all these guys going to different places to back up and, you know, possibly start in case of injury. Like, I don't think Ritter's not going to take the job from Kyler.
All those guys you just named have been in the NFL less than 5 years.
Yeah,
so, I mean,
it's in like all these first round picks. I mean, Howell and Ridder were not, but Mac Jones, Fields, and Pickett were all first round picks. Just didn't have success. Like, the teams knew quick enough to get rid of him. They didn't start him for six years.
I find it funny to think that Pickett from college, he's been in college and then two NFL teams, all in the state of Pennsylvania. Yeah, he is not leaving Pennsylvania.
Like, we can't move you outside of state. I think the Eagles were a team for Fields as well, because they said the Eagles would like to have a good backup behind Hurts. So we'll see if Pickett can do anything there. If, you know, Hurts is unavailable to play, but you know, they're paying him a lot of money, so I don't think he's not a starting candidate there. But like I said, there is value in guys who had starting experience. We've seen guys like Geno Smith, where it's like, well, that guy's a backup now, and then gets a chance and plays pretty well. So I wouldn't be surprised to see any of these guys end up starting games for their teams at some point. Like, Mac Jones is not going to take the job from Trevor Lawrence, but Mac Jones could have a good, solid year as a backup, and someone signs him next year to something, you know, similar to like Sam Darnold did this year, where Sam Darnold's probably going to start for Minnesota after being a backup and with the Niners for a year. So, yeah, that's football.
It's been a wild offseason. I think we've talked about football more this offseason than I expected us to, but every week a bunch of big things just happen. It's not even like it's one big thing. It's multiple big things.
I think we'll have a few weeks off after this.
Yeah, I agree. I think there can't be any more.
Yeah, we got the draft next month, but I think until then, nothing big. So what do we got next?
Should we talk about some soccer?
Yeah, we got the Champions League. We are now down to our final eight, and we just got the draw. And it is a good draw here. I've got it right here. Okay. We've got Arsenal versus Bayern Munich, which is a very good matchup. Then we've got Atletico Madrid versus Borussia Dortmund, PSG versus Barcelona, and then Real Madrid versus Manchester City. And that's the big one right there, because Manchester City is the favorite to win this tournament. And, you know, Real Madrid was also it always just makes some noise in this tournament, but now that they're getting put with Manchester City, their value there might not be as, you know, or I mean, they might have some value, but like, their odds are now not that good. But I'm going to pull up the odds here really quickly. Right now, Manchester City currently the favorite at plus 160. Then you have Arsenal at plus 450. Okay, I'm starting to think too. Is this really how we were looking at a bracket here? Is that how it is, or is it also a draw in the final four?
I believe there's a draw for the final four.
Because I was going to say, there's no way Arsenal would be the second favorite if they had to face Manchester City in the next round. That's just my humble opinion. But I'll just show you how so crazy this is. So then the third favorite is Real Madrid at plus 600. So they're almost saying, hey, if Real Madrid gets past Manchester City, watch out. Then you have Bayern Munich at 7-1, PSG 7-1, Barcelona 9-1, Atletico Madrid 11-1, and then it takes a big dip at 20-1 for Borussia Dortmund. So seems like they think it's possible that any of those other seven teams could do it, but Dortmund not so much. But these will be some good matchups. I think all four of these will be good. Arsenal and Bayern Munich will be really good. I think Arsenal's been playing well, but Munich's one of those teams that they've been in these tournaments before. And then Barcelona and PSG, those are just two teams that were really dominant like a handful of years ago, but now have gotten a little bit older, just not as exciting.
So isn't this like the end for Mbappe?
Yeah,
PSG?
He's going to Real Madrid, I believe he's already said. After this season in the summer. And Barcelona's got a lot of young kids. Like, believe it or not, Barcelona, one of their starting forwards is a 16-year-old. Yeah. It's kind of crazy. And it's a different world out there in Europe and European soccer. But yeah, and so they're led by a young team. They got Lewandowski, but he's towards the end of his career. So that should be a good matchup. I think PSG will probably get past him. Between Madrid and Dortmund, I would take Madrid. I think Atletico Madrid's got a good team. And then I think Manchester City's still too strong. I think they'll get past Real Madrid, but I think they'll definitely give them a fight. And then I'll say I think Arsenal will get past Munich. I mean, Munich has just had times this year where their defense hasn't been what it used to be. They're not even winning the Bundesliga this year. They're not even, they're probably not going to win the Bundesliga this year. Bayern Leverkusen is on something where they've been, haven't lost in like, they've either won or drawn in like 30-something straight matches, I think I saw, or something like that. So, I mean, it's pretty crazy over there. But yeah, it should be good. A good Champions League Elite Eight there. So I actually, this was my first time seeing the draw. I didn't even know it had happened yet. So that's exciting.
Yeah. And so that starts April 9th and 10th. So a few weeks away.
Yeah. So the last time Bayer Leverkusen didn't win or draw a game was July. I don't even know if this counts, but July 29th in a friendly. So of 2023, obviously. So they're having a remarkable season. And I'm mentioning them and they're not even in this, but I'm just talking about how Bayern Munich is, just not doing as well this year as they once were. But you'll see Bayer Leverkusen in this tournament next year. And hey, if maybe they'll still be up there too. So you have any thoughts here on this Champions League?
I'm going to tell you, when does the next one start?
Oh, April 9th.
No, I'm saying the next one. Qualifying July 9th. So, it flips over pretty quick.
Yeah, it always does. Yeah. Soccer is year-round.
Yeah.
Like, soccer is never stopping. It makes me actually think this year, 2024, I don't know if this is a Euro Cup year. I don't think so. Maybe 2026 is. But I don't know. But I think we've got one last thing to talk about here.
Oh, yeah. We have madness approaching.
Yeah, this is the meat and potatoes of the podcast, and we saved it for the end. The March Madness has begun, and it began quickly in the conference tournaments. Some, I can't think of all of them, but some notable ones that I'll say, maybe Andy will have a couple also, but North Carolina State won the ACC at 100-1 odds going into the tournament, which is pretty remarkable.
Five of the six big conferences, the number one team did not win it. So only UConn was the winner.
And another thing that I enjoyed was Long Beach State. I mean, obviously, that's our local conference, the Big West. They were a four seed. San Diego, SDS, or no, UCSD, right?
Yeah, they were ineligible.
They were ineligible because of
they just moved up.
They just moved up, but UCI was the one seed. And then behind them, you have Santa Barbara. And then since UCSD couldn't qualify, then behind them, you had Long Beach State sitting at the four seed. And Long Beach State had told their coach, We're getting rid of you when the season's done. So what did he do? He went and won the Big West tournament and locked in Long Beach State as a 15 seed in the tournament. Unfortunately, they will be going against a 2 seed, which is Arizona in the first round. But let's get into this bracket and the madness. I mean, can we pull a bracket up here?
I want to start with the first four, which okay. I've never been a fan of this new invention, I think.
I don't like it either.
Past 10 years.
You're either in or you're not.
You know, it adds more teams, allows more teams to get in, but also like eliminates teams that like, you know, should be fun. Like no one's watching these games is the point. We're not really watching them. I think maybe we'll turn it on afterwards because it's a good game tonight. But teams that worked hard to get into the tournament can be over before it really even starts. So yeah, the matchups here are always a 16 versus a 16, and then usually like a 10 or 11 or 12 versus each other. So yeah, we got Wagner versus Howard. So looks like Howard's going to lose this game down by 7 or 2 minutes. So they're out. They won their tournament. Great congratulations. You're out on Tuesday. That seems shitty. But here's what's the shittiest parts. So there's the teams that are like actually pretty good.
Yeah, that's what I don't understand.
So the
too.
2 10 seeds here.
Because what makes a 12 seed automatically get in on these other teams? And you're telling me I'm going to be a 10 seed?
So we've got tonight, we got a 10 versus 10, Colorado State versus Virginia. Tomorrow, 10 seeds, Colorado versus Boise State.
So they just don't like the state.
Not as only 2 Colorado teams. That's just 2 like Rocky Mountain or 3 Rocky Mountain area teams. They're all in the same region. So they're just like, fuck you to Colorado.
Those are big conferences too. I mean, you've got Pac-12, you've got the Mountain West, and then you've got the ACC, right?
What?
The tournaments, like those.
Oh, yeah, Virginia, teams. Yeah, ACC, yeah. But it is sad that if you're a basketball fan in Colorado, both the teams could be out before the tournament even really starts. And I guess in Colorado's case, you're saying you guys should have won your fucking tournament. If you won the tournament, you would have been an 8 or 9.
And we can look at it. Colorado, and they did get to the final against Oregon. They lost. But Colorado is, according to this, currently a 2.5-point favorite against Boise. And let's go back to, where's Colorado? Like, what's that line?
Tonight, yeah.
Colorado State also 2.5-point favorite. So they're just making Colorado also the same spread, too. But also a very low over-under in that game, 121.5.
Well, that's Virginia.
No, I know. But I think they were saying Colorado State plays pretty slow, too. But yeah, here we go. This is the madness has begun. So any... I guess we could just say how do you want to do this? You want to talk about the matchups?
I just want to talk about the one seeds at least. You know, UConn.
We could say some notable matchups.
Houston, it'll be North Carolina, Purdue is kind of what we expected going into last week. And it seemed like the tournaments didn't really matter, even though all 4 of those teams lost in their tournament, or 3 of the 4 lost in the tournament. It didn't really matter there. And then like a team like Illinois, who won their tournament, didn't really move up. I thought maybe if they won the tournament, they could move up and get a 2, but they are stuck there at 3.
And also at the end, I've got some odds here of to win the tournament.
Yeah.
And we could talk about like maybe, you know, dark horses or something like that.
Yeah, I like to highlight local teams. San Diego State, who, you know, made the finals last year. There are 5, so they're
against UAB.
Still eligible there to, you know, win. I don't think they're going to go far. They'd be playing UConn, who they, you know, got destroyed by in the final.
In the
they'd
Sweet
be playing
16,
them in the Sweet
right?
16 if they advance.
But they'd have to get also past Auburn or Yale. More than likely Auburn, but hey, this is the madness. Crazy things have happened. Because you always see those 13 seeds upset a 4 seed.
Yeah, and I like 6 versus 11 is always an interesting matchup because it's like, even though they're different seeds, they're actually kind of evenly matched. That's always a fun like upset thing, and it's usually a big conference versus a small conference. So you got BYU versus Duquesne in the East, and then what's the other one? Texas Tech and NC State. So NC State
that'll be
run hot off the tournament. And then what's the other 6 and 11? South Carolina versus Oregon, another team that's hot.
And then
tournament.
Clemson, New Mexico. I like New Mexico.
Clemson,
New
Mexico. There you go. So that's always one of my favorite, probably my favorite of the matchups. Those games are always pretty fun. You also got in the Pac-12, you said Arizona and Long Beach State. So Arizona's a 2 seed again. They're another one of those teams that they're good every year. They haven't really made a good run, I feel like, in a while. So is it this year? I don't know. They're in the bracket with North Carolina.
I'm not sold on Arizona. I wasn't sold on them earlier in the year. I think they lose in like the. I don't think they get past the Sweet 16. But then again,
I don't think you should be sold on anyone. That's kind of the fun here.
Yeah.
UConn, I don't think is as good as they were last year. Even though they
I don't
were
think so
4.
Either. But I think they have the easiest path.
Yeah. So what they got? Iowa State and they got Illinois. So that's probably the top of the 3 seeds. We also got like Kentucky is another 3 seed, had a good start to the end of the season.
And then one of the regions, I think the one below this region, the Midwest is tough because you've got Purdue, but then you've got Gonzaga at the 5, you've got Kansas at the 4, Creighton at the 3, Oregon, who's 11, who just won the Pac-12 tournament, which is kind of funny, and then you got Tennessee at the 2. I think by far the Midwest is the toughest conference there. Also, we just want to note that we mentioned a little bit ago, but Howard now is only down by 3 with a minute left. So the madness is becoming mad here early on. We'll keep you guys updated if it's still live while we're talking, but you guys will obviously know by the time you hear our voices anyway. But you have anybody in mind, like, you know, if you would have to say is going to win this or any long shots? Because I got some of the odds here that I'll just spit out a couple right now. So
I mean, where's Texas Tech? Because I feel like they've won some big games. They played in a tough conference.
Let me see here. Okay. So Texas Tech is, okay, like 100 to 1 odds.
All right. I like it.
Yeah. So they are plus 10,000. So yeah, 100 to 1 odds for Texas Tech to win this tournament. But I'll give you guys here the top few here. So UConn is the favorite at plus 410, which I don't think is much value. Then you got Houston at plus 530. Then you got Purdue plus 700, Arizona plus 1100, Tennessee plus 1300, North Carolina plus 1500, Iowa State plus 1800, Auburn plus 1900, Illinois plus 2300, Creighton plus 2700, Marquette plus 2800, Duke plus 3,000, Kentucky plus 3,100, Alabama plus 3,500, Baylor plus 4,200, and then you get some names down here that people know, like you got St. Mary's plus 4,500, Kansas plus 5,500, which is crazy to think they were a one seed about a month ago. Mm-hmm. Gonzaga plus 5,600. You got San Diego State also at 100 to 1 odds, so no respect to the fact they made that last year. They think that was a fluke. I mean, Connecticut does have the easiest conference, in my opinion, but I don't think they're going to win it this year. I really don't know who I think is going to win it. I don't know. I haven't really looked like too in-depth yet. I mean, I think Purdue's got a difficult side. I think I originally was like, I think Purdue's got a good team, but with Gonzaga, Kansas, Tennessee, all on that side, I don't really, you know, I wouldn't have money on Purdue to go the distance. I think it's too easy of a chance for one of those teams to upset them. To be honest, I mean, I still like Duke as a long shot at a 4 seed. I mean, I think they can put something together possibly. Those look like teams that they can get past. I mean, they play Vermont first, and then they would play Wisconsin or James Madison, and then either Texas Tech, NC State, Kentucky, most likely. So they could find themselves in the Elite Eight against a team like Houston. But
yeah, wasn't James Madison in the top 25 at some point?
Yeah, because remember the first game of the year they upset Michigan State, and then next thing you know, a couple weeks later, it was like, oh, actually they're ranked number 25 or something. They're not as bad as we thought. So, any insight from you?
The other thing I thought was interesting was that a lot of the snubs, as you'll call them, didn't want to participate in the other tournaments. So I think the big one was St. John's with Rick Pitino there. Not going to the NIT. They just want to end their season and get preparing for whatever they got to do next year. So teams are kind of out on those other tournaments. So, we have the NIT. I don't know who's going to be in it.
I also saw
already
that
started here.
The transfer portal has begun. They were saying that, like, so some guys might even enter the transfer portal and not even play in their NIT. Well, we got UCI tonight against Utah.
I mean, so you got some teams like Ohio State is playing, so they got big teams in there.
And they're playing Cornell, and they're up by 1, so I mean, you can just tell. Like, sometimes when you get those little teams like Cornell, like, they're excited to still be playing, while Ohio State's like, we're Ohio State, we don't want to.
Yeah. Providence had a good year in the Big East, so they're playing right now against Boston College. So.
And North Texas beating up on LSU on the road. And these NIT teams in the first few rounds, they actually play at home. And here we are, Andy. Howard now down by 1 with 17 seconds.
Okay, I loved it. Check in on that.
I wish we could.
We can. Do you want? Might screw up the podcast. Let's see.
Do we try to go live to this game on the pod? Something we've never done before. We are maybe giving you guys something for the first time. Maybe, who knows? Maybe this will be. Maybe one day we'll have some callers call in too. I feel like we tried something like that one time. All right, Andy's gonna throw on the game here live on the pod.
It's not great. It's not a great podcast to do this, but Well, I mean, we got to stick with you here because this,
yeah,
is the end
this
of our
is
show.
This is the madness.
We got nothing left.
Gave it all we could.
Yeah.
So we got a 69-68 game. Wagner up by 1 point, 17 seconds flat to go in the game. Wagner in the bonus. Howard is not. I don't know who has the ball because we just turned this on. Actually, no, I'm sorry. Howard is in the bonus. Okay. 14-2 Howard scoring run in the last 2 minutes, 49 seconds. All right. Here, coach wearing a sweatshirt. I've never seen that before, but I like it. All right, so it looks like Wagner's got the ball, so Howard is going to have to foul, so we'll see.
There could be like multiple fouls, and I don't think we should commentate through the whole thing here, but...
He travel? That was close.
Well, I think we should just leave this as a tease for people, because at this point, they actually know what happened.
Yeah, that's
they're
true.
They're already watching.
We will finish watching the final 15 seconds here.
We will.
But I think that's it for us here.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, that'll wrap up episode 368 of the Tony Steak Podcast. I'm Sean, and joined with me, we had Off-Road Andy.
Thank you.
And Tony Katz.
Yes, thanks for listening.
We'll see you later.